you're in for some fishing information, fishing news, and some tips that'll help you catch more fish. Welcome to the Fishing School. And as always, I'm happy to have you along for the ride. So whether you download this during the weekend or you listen live, welcome to the show, Bram. And we've got a lot of things happening this week. I just got back from out of town, so I'll talk about fishing for rainbow trout and brown trout in Missouri in the Ozarks. So we'll talk about a little bit about canal fishing or, you know, river or moving water fishing. So I had the opportunity to get out for a few hours on, you know, kind of a non-fishing vacation. And so I was up against some locals, and we put the fishing school tactics to the test. So I'll tell you how we did there. And we'll also be talking about a big event, which is coming up next week, next Friday. So if you're in the Chicago area, I'm going to mention this a couple times during the broadcast, but if you're in the Chicago area, I am looking for volunteers for a massive event, and you can get in on the action. You can actually participate in what will be a big fundraiser. So I will have information on that. I'm going to give you a website that you can go to right away, and that's our team website. We are going to be trying to break a record for a good cause, actually two good causes. One is the Ronald McDonald House charities that they care for families and children with complex medical needs. They provide comfort and compassion. They provide a place to stay and also resources for people out of town who are having children with major surgeries, major illnesses, etc. So they provide resources so that people who are really hurting, that their family and their children are in a hospital, they provide a place for them to stay so that they don't have to incur massive, massive costs of being away from home, which can in many cases be a month, 2 months. It can be an extended stay. So this is a great charity. They run it really efficient. So there is a team page where you can donate, and I'll have information up on ChicagoFishingSchool.com. But also you can go to www.razoo.com, and you can search for our team there, or you can go /team/Chicago-Fishing-School. You can probably search for us there. But you go to the team page, and you can make a donation that goes straight to the charity. It goes straight to Ronald McDonald House. Or I got a second charity, and I did volunteer at a veterans event and with some very cool guys, and we helped some paralyzed veterans in their annual fishing derby. So we are also supporting Wounded Warrior Project. And the Wounded Warrior Project, it fosters a well-adjusted generation of wounded service members, the most well-adjusted wounded service members in our nation's history. So thanks to Wounded Warrior Project and a few other organizations, people with life-changing injuries through service to our country, they don't have to live without getting around and without being mobile, thanks to some of these great charities. So Wounded Warrior Project, they help service members and assist them so they can get back to more of a normal life, and they assist them with things with prosthesis, therapy, etc., and support for their family. So warriorproject.org, and we're trying to raise money through a charity to break a world record. So we're trying to go for the most fish caught in a 24-hour period. So I will personally be attacking this record next Friday, July 5th. So July 5th, 2013. I'll date this. So if you're listening to a rerun, well, you're going to miss out on a little exciting thing. So we'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about, you know, all the electronics and the charts and the maps and the GPS. I'll have a GPS machine and a big boat, a big bass boat. I'll have a lot of gear, sonar, side sonar, a lot of thousands of dollars in electronics. And we'll talk about all the sophisticated equipment that I'm going to use to go after this record, right? That's the way I would go catch a lot of fish. Or is it? You guys ready? I'm about ready. I'm ready to tie some lines. So let's get it going.
I did study with Dr. Errol von Stroessenberger, Bacon.
Who?
Oh, you don't know him? Oh, he's like one of the leading leaders in unusual methods. Actually, he's how I was appointed to the Presidential Council for Experimental Education. Tell you about what we've been doing in here, but there's such a thing as teacher-student confidentiality, and I don't want to be in breach of education law because I could be dismembered by the teachers' union. There and melt some faces.
All right, let's melt something. We're going to be tying so many knots. We'll be melting monofilament all week long. So lots to talk about. So remember, I got to charge up all the electronics, right? Five trolling motors. I've got to gas up the super 700 horsepower bass boat, and I've got to make sure I have 10 batteries running to run all my sonar and my side fish finder sonar and my GPS, and I'm not going to do any of that. So if you're a regular listener to the showgram, you're thinking, what's he's gone off his rocker? No, I am going to use the tactics that I talk about on the showgram every week. Everything that I talk about, that is what we're going to do. I'm going to execute a very simple plan. No reel. I'm going bamboo style. I'm going old school. So I will be fishing the methods that I talk to you guys about all the time. It'll be the pole method. It'll be pole to hand. Pole to hand. So just no fishing reel. Just some line, a hook, and some fantastic live bait. So I have a mountain of grubs that are going to be flying in. Of course, they won't be flying because they're only pupa. They're only larva. When they, you know, once they fly, they are, they're done. So we'll be using a lot of larva, a lot of grubs, a lot of protein. We will be using no electronics. We will be using no boat. I will be fishing from shore in a fixed position, and I will be using the most simple of tactics from our colonial show, colonial special. So you got to love it. And we will be taking all the modern fishing gear. We'll be taking it up in battle. In
ready,
one term. Oh,
aim,
there they are.
Fire.
The security must have spotted that doodle from a couple weeks ago on the showgram. So, yeah, prank call the showgram. I highly recommend that because you're not going to make it on the air. You'll be edited out. So to the if you're listening, and I know you are because the ratings are up. So I think because that dude prank called into the showgram that I had to cut off, I played the banjo music for that guy, the ratings are through the roof. So I want to thank all you guys for listening and, you know, sending emails and calling and following the podcast. I thank you all the time. And things are getting bigger for us, and hopefully I'm going after a Guinness World Record for most fish caught in a 24-hour period. So that's 24 hours on the clock. So we'll have the atomic clocks running, so accurate, so I can't use some AA batteried gimmicky clock from a carnival sideshow or something where I can just move the hands around and do some cheating. Each fish is going to be logged, so I'll actually be able to tally up the exact number of each species that are caught. This will be done in a suburb of Chicago. So if you're in the Chicago area, or you're in Iowa, or you're in Indiana, you know, Missouri, Tennessee, and you want to make the drive here, my Wisconsin people, my Minnesota people, make the drive down. This is going to be on July 5th. So right after July 4th. Okay, hold on. That's some getting ready music right there. Getting ready drums. We'll hold off on the fights for now. But if you are within striking distance and you can make it and you can donate some time, remember, this is for two great causes. We're trying to drive some donations and raise some awareness for them, but also raise some awareness for the fact that fishing is great. And like I always say, there are hundreds of fish, thousands of fish, and millions of fish in front of you as you're going about your fishing day. And it's just the gear that's wonky. It's just the stuff on the shelves that's just bad. Bad for fishing. Bad for people. Bad for catching. So I'm going to prove it. We're going to take some basically colonial-style hooks. And I've been working on rigging these up. And I'm going to take some simple floats and some poles with no reel. And I'm going to try and break the current world record, which, let's get some stats for you guys. I know some people like some stats. They don't like to just hear me ramble on the showgram. So the current world record, as if I don't know it by heart like a trillion times over, right? I'm going to have to catch 1.8 fish per minute sustained over the 24-hour period. So let's see what that comes out to. The current world record, it stands at 2,000. Yeah, come on now. 2,649 fish caught, and that was caught on Lake Minnetonka, Minnesota, by my friend Jeff Kolodzinski, who also fished on the USA fishing team with me. So when he finds out, he's the coolest guy fishing wise that I've met in a long time. So he'll probably be excited that I'm going for it. So hopefully I won't get skunked. So that's 1.83 fish per hour. And like I said, sustained. So I got some comments on the message board. You can actually find this up on fieldandstream.com, and the Chicago Tribune's picked up on it. But I seriously am in need of volunteers to audit the catch. In order to qualify for a Guinness World Record, I have to have several people who have audited the catch. And so that means logging each fish that is caught. And that means that I have to have the species logged, and I have to have everything exact. We have to have everything logged and so that it's correct. So there's no chance of any following up. So that means two auditors, 24 hours around the clock. I will have time slots that people can fill. Starting tomorrow, I will be taking reservations for those slots, and I really need people to make the commitment, if you can, and get in here. So you can email me through the site. You can go to chicagofishingschool.com, hit contact there, or you can just call 630-235-2162. That's 630-235-2162. And let me know your availability to help. Overnighters, we're actually going to be having a raffle. We'll raffle off some great prizes, some gift cards, some fishing tackle. We'll be raffling that off to people who are donating time for support and doing the auditing for these two great charities, Ronald McDonald House and Wounded Warrior Project. So I think we might make this an annual thing. Got to send a note out. We have a lot of media outlets contacting me. So just hold on 1 second. How about if we do this? How about we? I'll just take one break. But if you can, if you can donate some time on July 5th, starting at 7 a.m. And this is in Oak Brook Terrace. It's basically Route 88 or I-88 and Route 83. That'll be basically the location. So if you call and you're interested, I'll get your email. I'll send you a map and details. But my volunteers will be taken care of. And if you volunteer for a night shift, you'll actually double your odds of winning. So I'm going to put you in the raffle two times for every hour shift that you take. So if you do take four, so let's say you work 4 hours logging fish during the night shift, I'm going to put you in that drawing eight times. So we'll have some pretty cool stuff. I got a little bit of memorabilia that I can give away, and I've got, like I said, fishing tackle and things from sponsors and that. So good stuff. So please do give me a call and help out in this effort. I think it's going to be a fun time. You're going to see hopefully one or two fish caught, and you'll see the fact that I'm not going to use any electronics. We're going old school colonial style attack. So if you haven't listened to the colonial show, listen, because that's going to be exactly what I'm going to be using. So if George Washington were there, I'd give him a run for his money. I'd be pretty sad if he beat me, but that's okay. So let's take a short break, and I'll also get back to my Ozarks. And we got a couple of odd and weird weird stories in fishing news that I'll get to. And I'm going to talk about... I guess I could tease it. The largest trout I've ever caught. So I did that on one of the gaping floats from the live bait fishing tackle people. And so you can check that out. I'll be talking specifics on that. And much more. We'll talk world record fishing. And like I said, we got a lot to get through. And I have to get going to the old table, and I have to prep a bunch of lines. So we'll be back in a shake here. So watch your lines. Don't put your rod down and look away. I'll be back in a second. Keep your rod afloat. Hey, this is Johnny Wilkins, and I'm going to tell you about a great fishing website where you can get the same tackle that I use when I'm out on the water. That's livebaitfishingtackle.com. Talk about great stuff. This stuff is field tested and proven. No junk, only fish catching tackle. So find the latest, the 2013 selection of float fishing accessories, tools, and equipment that'll help you catch a ton of fish, including the float that's caught me 203 fish in 30 minutes. That's right. If you're not catching fish, you got to switch. Switch to livebaitfishingtackle.com. Try some new floats. If you have any questions, feel free to email me, and I'll send you a diagram or help you out as much as I can on the showgram. So use the stuff that I talk about on the show and improve your fishing. Livebaitfishingtackle.com. And hey, the prices are great. Why? They catch a ton of fish. Check it out. I think the showgram would like to congratulate all the Blackhawks fans across the country. Chicago Blackhawks, Stanley Cup champions. Let's hit that again. Okay, so that's got double meaning this week. Stanley Cup, awesome. Wow, wow. If you're not a fan of hockey, give that a taste if you can get some reruns. Wow, wow. And also, I think we got to make that the theme music for our attempt. So, world record attempt. I personally am stoked. I've been training, like I said, since the beginning of the year. I lost 38 pounds and got myself in shape, and we are just days away from the attempt here, and I've got a lot of tackle to get rocking. So in order to do a 24-hour attempt, I have to have redundant rigs, and I have to have extra setups in case of a tangle. I don't want to take the time out to be undoing a tangle, and as we always talk about on the showgrams, you do your preparation at home, not on the bank. So the more you put in, the more you have ready, literally, the more fish you will catch. Because if you don't have a line in the water, it's very difficult to catch the fish. So the preparation time that you put in ahead of time, and in my case, I started 2 weeks ago with tying some lines and getting some leaders in my case and getting all my leader lines ready. I started well before that shopping so that I didn't run out last minute to get hooks. The hook patterns that I always talk about on the showgram and the hook patterns that might as well bop over to the Ozarks and my trip there. The hook patterns that I talk about on the showgram really work, and they work all over the country, all species of fish. It was amazing what I saw. There's this big trophy river in the Ozarks, so I've got to get you guys the name of it. But basically, we'll talk more about it on next week's show, but it is a man-made river lake. So mostly it's a lake, but it's on a hydroelectric power station dam. So when the local residents in the county require electricity, they release some water and they fire up the generators. And so the flow picks up as the demand for electricity picks up. So does the flow of the lake slash river. So there's a tip for you on any type of lakes or rivers which are fed and which are connected to cities or which are used for utilities. If you get in early in the morning, you are going to have a much more still water fishing situation, which is much easier for new people to catch fish. So that's probably your tip of the day, is get in early on systems that are canals or which are connected to utilities or dams where they might release water. And you will literally see at 10 a.m. or 11 a.m., you will start to see the volume of the water increase. And it increases as, A, water treatment plants need to treat water and they release it into that body of water. And voila, you've got a faster moving body of water. Or they all start cranking on their air conditioning and they need to power that up. So whammo, on goes the generators and up goes the flow and the current in your river. Now, I got in a little bit early, so I was in on some still water fishing. And the hooks that I'm going to use in this challenge and the same hooks that I use for my trout fishing in the fall are the hooks that I used and deployed. I used the Stealthy. I was using a size 14 hook, a very small light wire hook, and I was able to catch the largest brown trout I've ever caught. So it was between 17 and 18 inches. I know that doesn't sound gigantic, but for a stream trout, that's very big. And the last time I did that was up in Minnesota. Now, when I arrived at the bank, I had prepared. I was using a 2-pound fluorocarbon leader. And fluorocarbon, if we haven't talked about it on the show, Graham, it has a visibility rating which is more clear than a crystal clear water. So it's very clear line. Its refraction in the water is going to be less than that of the water. So it really masks itself. And when you're in a situation, I highly recommend long fluorocarbon leaders. So I actually had a 5-foot fluorocarbon leader on before the first split shot came in. So that's how much leader I had on the setup. And then to the top of that, like I said, we go right to the people from livebaitfishandtackle.com because I used the small pole float. I used the Gape and Model 5-inch pencil float. So very simple stuff. $2.75. Nothing fancy. It's a nice float, but pretty easy setup. Dropped a few small split shot below that. That 5-inch pencil float is less than a gram. It's right below a gram in terms of how much split shot you have to use on it. So in a light flow, that was a perfect float. And evidently much better than the power baiters that were upstream from me. So I was nice. It was nice that I came, and when I set up, there was already a power baiter there. He had his line fishing it straight down the middle of the river, casting out with the big weight, and he had his jar of power bait there, and he was baiting up. And I found a few of these power baits along the shore. So they must be popular. To me, very expensive proposition to sit there and not catch any fish. So for me, again, power bait loses to one of the local guys fishing power bait who has fished there before, loses out to a tourist. I'm just a tourist there. I'm just a visitor. And so it was nice to hear, oh, well, that guy over there is catching. So I got some of that. So I got some local love. And I did end up hooking 4 nice brown trout. And again, the biggest one, 17 to 18 inches. It's a nice trout. It was a good fight on that light line on a 2-pound leader. So in order to catch more fish, again, go light, go small, go light, and you'll catch some fish. So check out the float. You can see that. It's the 5-inch pencil float, and it's on sale. So that's a discount price that I gave you, not the normal price. Livebaitfishingtackle.com. So when I arrived at the water, I was really glad that I had tied up the fluorocarbon. There was a whole fleet of boats that came floating by They deployed their motors. One guy wasn't watching what he was doing, and the flow of the river / lake, actually, while he was tying up, trying to put on some spinner or something, his boat passed to within where he was right in my swim. So I was thankful he never fired up the motor, and I was able to hook my fourth fish. If he had seen that he was getting close to me, what happens is sometimes people will drop the motor in, crank, that'll spook all the fish right there next to you for a while. So I was glad he didn't do that because I was on the clock. I was running low on time. So if you ever are in a boat and you are drifting, you got to be courteous to those out in front of you, and you got to plan ahead. So if you're going to tie a line, you need to leave enough room so that when you drift, you're not going to hit any objects, you're not going to run into another boat, you're not going to run your boat through people's lines. So he missed my lines. Of course, I was fishing float style. But Mr. Powerbait, he actually hooked his line up on the motor momentarily and knocked his line out of commission. So right into the people's lines. And to avoid that, look downstream in the direction of where you're floating and plan ahead. You know, kick the boat before you start tying, kick it out into the center. You know, make sure there aren't any big barges or anything that's going to come and knock the daylights out of you and knock you into the water. But plan ahead when you're in a boat. I don't think this man was rude. I just think he didn't plan ahead, and so his boat was right into me. He would have really bummed me out. And the method I was using to catch the brown trout was real simple. I had a small cup of grubs, so I probably had between maybe like about 500 grubs that I'd ordered. And again, I tell you the secret, and some people have said, oh, it's so expensive to order and the shipping cost and blah, blah. I gave you the secret many shows ago. So if you have not done this, you need to do it because it's the difference between catching fish and just unscrewing a jar of foam baits that you're not going to catch anything. Good live bait catches a ton of fish. I'm going to prove that out because I got some of the same live bait coming in for the world record attempt on the 5th. So if you show up there, you will see very simple rig, very simple floats, very simple line, light line, small hooks that I advocate. And you'll see, in this case, because I'm fishing 24 hours, you'll see the most grubs and the largest portion of bait that you've ever seen in your entire life. So I'll probably have extra, but I'll have it on hand. If I need it, it's there. So... But what I was doing for these trout, I had transported across state lines legally, not packed in earth, and legal bait, and legal for the area I was in. Now, I checked the local regulations. Here's tip of the day number two. Get maps, get your local regulations, read in the back of the regulations, and know the size limits and know the bait restrictions. The method that I use and that I teach on the showgram, it's called loose feeding. And so what I was doing was loose feeding small grubs downstream. Now, I fed them slightly upstream so that they would flow in the water downward. So I shot them upstream about 8-10 feet from the spot I was fishing. Why? It takes the grubs a long time underwater to get down to the spot where I'm fishing. So if I was in 8 feet of water, it might take those grubs a full minute of travel downstream in the current to reach the spot, whatever current that is. So they will initially travel far on the top of the surface, and you have to draw like an arc. And as they fall a little deeper, they'll fall more straight. But initially, they'll be cruising along horizontally with the current until they drop a little further. So you have to plan, if you're going to loose feed in the moving water, you have to plan well ahead, and you have to time it so that you're not putting grubs 30, 40, 50 feet behind where you're fishing downstream. Because you know what? The fish will travel downstream, and the fish will stick there. You'll actually put up a wall, and you'll actually prevent the fish from making it up to your hook bait. Because the bait will be downstream, you're upstream. Well, if they're eating a buffet down there, they're not going to travel upstream for your one or two grubs on your hook, are they? So you got to plan that out. You got to watch your current. In fast current, you can't do this. You can't loose feed. You would have to drive those down with some sort of ground bait, heavy ground bait that would drop these grubs down to the deck underneath the flowing water. So the method I would use, I would shoot out maybe 5 or 10 grubs every couple of minutes, and those would come downstream to where I had my float, and I would be holding my float back against the current, the slight angle on the float, and a longer, if it was 8 feet of water, I might use 10 feet of line because it's going to go down on an angle. So the first thing I did when I got there, measure the depth, set the float, hook on the bottom, float at the top, weight on the bottom. Okay, there's my depth. Now, add a little bit of line because it goes down at an angle in order to reach the bottom. I need to be in that bottom to catch fish. So loose feeding in over the top, downstream from me, some of the grubs, even more downstream than me, further down, man with foamy fake bait on his hook that wasn't moving, man with no fish. Okay? It's that simple, guys. Good moving bait on the hook. I had activity in my area. The activity was created by the falling grubs. I got the world record attempt on my mind. I just got some rubber gloves because I'm going to get pruny hand like nobody's business. So pruny hand happens when you're catching a ton of fish, and you got to keep your hands wet when you handle those fish. Well, you do that a lot, you're going to get pruny hand. Skin is going to break off. So rubber gloves. We were sending grubs, G-R-U-B-S, larva, fly larva, so natural baits. These fish responded to a bunch of natural baits in the water column, and then they also, more importantly, and probably a greater force, they respond to the movement of the fish. As each fish is moving, they are responding and seeing the flashes of the fish, and they get more excited. So I was able to land the two trout right away, and then another trout and a big trout later on. 4 trout in 2 hours on strange water that I had to walk down a large rock dam. It took me a long time to get down there. Very precarious. I didn't want to fall and knock myself silly. It's very hot. Like I said, the locals not catching many fish there, but 4 brown trout scored. The methods work. Again, anchor split shot. Seek it out. Find it. I was using the 0.3 gram shot stacked. So if I had a gram float on, that meant I only had two of the 0.2 split shot and then 2 of the 0.3 gram split shot. Add it up, that's a gram. I believe these are 1.2 grams. Each float can kind of vary. If it's a dense float, it could take more shot. If it's a lighter, so I actually during that time had to take time to balance out my float on vacation. When you pack the car that way, you know, I didn't have all my gear ready to go at water's edge like I advocate. And if I had, I might have had another trout. It's that simple. Instead of 4 trout, 5 trout. Okay? If you're prepared, you'll catch more fish. So, back to the record if you can. Like, I'll give this phone number out again. It's 630-235-2162 if you're available on July 5th. July 5th, we're going to start at 7:30 in the morning. That's in Oak Brook Terrace, Illinois. I'll have information up on the site. This is a fundraiser. If you cannot make it to the fundraiser, check out our team page and consider giving a donation to these great charities. And you can just pledge the donation, and I'll put it up on the tote board either to the Wounded Warrior Project or to Ronald McDonald House. And awesome. Both these charities are so efficient, all the monies that they collect. They spend very little on management and administration. They spend very little on financing. These guys are grade A charities. So the money goes to the people in need. And Ronald McDonald House is a 5-star charity, and Wounded Warrior is like a 4.5 right there next to it, a 5-star rated charity also. Very, very efficient. Okay? Now, the one is corporate sponsored. The other is not. They're both 503C. So this 100% of these funds goes right to charity. So you would make any donations or checks payable out to straight to those charities. And I'll just be running a tote board to see how much anglers can raise for a couple good causes. So hopefully we'll do it. The goal is just $2,500. So You can also, if you'd like to, pledge per fish caught. So if you're skeptical and you're tuned in and you want to bet against me, go ahead and bet a quarter of fish, and we'll see how that works out. But you could do a flat amount. It would probably be much more safe than doing price per fish. If you want to make a nice donation, 50 cents a fish, dollar fish, let's go. These are great charities. So if you want to feel great about yourself and maybe you're coming out of the recession a bit and your business is doing a bit better, or personally you're doing a bit better, be thankful and give a little bit back to those in need, okay? So these either go to great veterans or, people who are, their kids are in a bad way and their family is hurting. So you will help them out a lot. So anybody want some fishing news? Fish news. Man, I have to get into the Studio Shogram Lounge. As always, we're broadcasting right outside of Chicago here. The Chum City Studio Lounge. We'll take a couple seconds here, break, and I'll come back with a couple great fishing stories and with some fishing news. I'll be right back. I'm Johnny Wilkins. This is Fish News. Asian carp spawn in more areas than first thought. New information helps fight against the giant fish that threatens the ecosystems of the Great Lakes. Two species of invasive Asian carp may be able to spawn in more Great Lake tributaries than previously thought, according to a U.S. Geological Survey released last week. Researchers said that they hope the new data will help predict where the fish could spawn if they make it from Chicago area waterways into Great Lakes, giving authorities a leg up in their fight to combat the hungry fish. If Asian carp spread into the Great Lakes, knowing where to expect them to spawn is a critical step in controlling these invasive species, scientist Elizabeth Murphy said in a statement. The voracious eaters can reach 100 pounds, and experts worried they'd be able to outcompete native fish for food, threatening the lake's $7 billion fishing industry. Tuesday's report shows that fertilized Asian carp eggs can incubate in waterways that are only 26 kilometers, that's 16 miles long. That's far shorter than the 100 kilometers or the 62 miles of undammed water that researchers previously thought the drifted eggs needed before they could hatch. So apparently the eggs need to tumble and drift down in order for them to be oxygenated. The USGS says that floating eggs are slightly heavier than water, which means they will sink and generally die if they get trapped in a slow-moving river, lake, or stream. But the stretches of uninterrupted water give the eggs a better chance of survival. Several varieties of carp imported from Asia have migrated steadily northward in the Mississippi River and its tributaries since escaping from the southern fish farms and sewage treatment ponds in the 1970s. None of the carp are known to have reached the lakes, although their DNA has been found in Lake Erie. The Great Lakes region has been sharply divided on how to deal with that threat. BBC News, 60 rods stolen from fishing charity Angling First. A County Down fishing charity has had 60 rods and other equipment stolen during a break-in. The equipment was stolen from a shipping container just outside Dromore, used by the Angling First charity. The charity says that this year it has taught 2,000 children from deprived areas across Northern Ireland how to fish. Angling First Mark McGivern said the container would have not been easy to force open. It makes you feel sick. It's probably been someone who has come to our pond, but they wouldn't deter me from continuing, he said. There's supposed to be a suicide prevention group coming this Saturday, but I'm not sure if I'll be able to make it possible for this weekend. Mr. McGovern added that it was the second such incident the charity had suffered. He estimated the cost of their theft upwards of $1,200, £600, which he said might be a small amount for bigger charities, but was a lot for Angling First. The break-in was discovered on Wednesday morning. Police can confirm that a report was received at approximately 11:24 a.m. the morning of Wednesday the 5th. A burglary at premises in Lurgan Road area of Doomer. So how sad is that, man? This guy hosts charity events. He's having a suicide prevention group hosting people who are really down on their luck, and he might not have fishing rods for them. That is a sad, sad story. And now to the dumb. We go from the sad to the dumb, and I think we got security standing on hand for this chap. Cheating angler caught out after fellow competitor recognized his prize-winning catch, which he'd stolen from an aquarium. An angler who won a fishing competition with a huge bass that he stole from an aquarium has been left off the hook by a judge who spared him from jail. Sneaky Matthew Clark, 29, pinched the 13-pound fish from the tourist attraction, but pretended that he had in fact caught it in a grueling sea fishing contest. He won the $1,600 first prize and proudly posed for photos with his winning, in quotes, catch dangling beside him. But a fellow competitor smelled something fishy when he recognized the bass from a recent trip to the aquarium with his family. The other fisherman quickly alerted aquarium staff, who realized that the fish was missing, as well as competition organizers who informed the police. He was today ordered by a judge to carry out 100 hours of community service after he admitted burglary, there it is again, burglary, and fraud charges. Judge Philip Roby told Clark to take an oath of good behavior for 2 years and told him that he would face jail if he broke the terms of the sentence handed to him at Guernsey Magistrates Court in the Channel Islands. I knew some mates from Channel Islands. They lent me a tackle box for the World Championships, a seat box. Very nice people, most of them, except for Matthew Sneaky Clark. Okay, he looks like a hooligan, too. He hatched a plan to break into a building and steal the fish to win the competition. The court had a change of heart on how Clark of St. Sampson, Guernsey, had previously worked at the Island St. Peter Port Aquarium and owed that manager, Dave Miller, $3,000, £1,500. So apparently Sneaky then hatched the plan to steal the fish. At 6:30 p.m. on July 9th last year, the final day of the Bailiwick Bass Club Open Competition, Clark scaled cliffs and climbed a rope ladder to reach the building before he entered the aquarium through a back door. The bungling raider dropped the fish as if he made his escape and injured it. Oh, he dropped it as he made his escape and injured it, but managed to pick it up again and carry it to the 8 p.m. weigh-in at a nearby fishing tackle shop. The enormous fish tipped the scales at 13 pounds, 13 ounces, trouncing the nearest competitor who only managed to catch a 10-pound, 3-ounce fish. Clark was congratulated by the other contestants and was due to pick up his winnings at a ceremony later in the week. However, fellow entrant Shane Bentley, 38, thought that he had been seeing the winning fish before. Speaking before the hearing, he said, "Me and my wife were taking the kids to the aquarium, and we'd seen a bass in the tank. It stood up because it had some distinct markings on its head, not the markings from when Sneaky dropped him. I had gone to congratulate the winner because I heard it was a monster, and when I saw it, I thought, heck, that's a beauty. It wasn't until the bass was lifted out of the tank for the photo that he thought, that's the fish in the aquarium. I immediately informed the club members of my suspicions, but they laughed. The next morning, I took 10 minutes off work to go to the aquarium. They had opened, but the woman let me in, and I said, where's that big fish with the marks on his head? I looked in the tank, but I couldn't see the fish. Then the woman looked as well, and she couldn't find the fish. She then called the owner down, and he couldn't see the fish. Mr. Bentley, who has been fishing for more than 25 years, immediately contacted the competition organizer, who alerted officers of the burglary. Officers seized the head from the winning fish carcass and photographs of the missing bass as evidence. A beheading! Oh. So there you go. Bass fishing cheaters. That there is no other lower form of life, is there?
Oh,
loathsome. So you know what we do with cheetahs and prank callers, don't you?
Ready, and fire.
The showgram gets violent. Okay, those were just warning shots. Like I said, if he violates the parole, we'll call the Musketeers back in. That is Fish News. I'm Johnny Wilkins. Do you like the special effects where we make our digital sounds sound like they're stretched tapes, like they're really old tapes? I love that. I like that. Okay, so where were we at? Oh, yeah, you guys need to... get in the tackle box, dig around, get the junk out, get on my soapbox. Actually, there's so much to do. I actually have to tie a bunch of lines. I have a couple of interviews to do. Again, if you can volunteer some time to just – it's going to be easy. You can literally check boxes, check the different species of fish, just check a box and keep a tally. And so I have shifts available. Do give me a call if you're available on the 5th. And help out. We're going to break a world record. We're going to go for it. But we're not going to get there unless I tie up some lines. I'm telling you that. So check it out. If you want the, again, the float that I used from last week at the to catch my biggest brown trout ever, this float's good for still waters and obviously for slow-moving waters. This I fished it at a 10-foot depth and it really detected the bites better than the local stuff. So that is the Gapin 5-inch pencil float. The split shot, anchor, split shot. And there's a little selector, or you can get the 0.2 gram, 0.3 gram pots. And those are the fine shot that you'll need. Hook was an owner size 14 mosquito hook. So there you go. I just gave you my whole rig. That is the best trout fishing rig that you can have. I mean, there's some more sensitive floats, but that is a good start. If you get that float low in the water, you too can catch some champion fish. So I'll have to have another crack at that that waterway next year with a little more time. I will return to that Clearwater venue. I guess the state. I have pictures of the state record brown trout there. I think it was 23 pounds, so much bigger than mine. And I have pictures of massive trout that I took while touring there that you can see in the water. The boaters that were passing by the water, they kept commenting, "Oh, look at those fish! Look at that fish! Look at those fish!" Well, they're making so much racket. I didn't see a single fish caught on the boats that were flowing around and that were driving around in that. Too much noise. No way with that clear water. Those fish aren't going to settle in. There was a boat that was quiet and anchored across the way. They were catching fish downstream by holding back the bait in the current. A massive key to catching fish, presenting the bait in a still fashion, presenting good live bait in front of the fish that's not moving. It's still, in fact, in terms of how it's moving horizontally, but moving on the hook. That's the key. Good live bait. And with these number 14 mosquito hooks, number 10 mosquito hooks, you will find that your bait moves and stays live a lot longer, like mine will next week. So I think we'll do a showgram next week. Check in to see if I'm prepared and ahead, I will lock one in. Otherwise, I might be taking a week off, and I will catch back. I will catch you guys. You can follow me on Twitter at Chicago Fishing School. Wow, what's up with that? Misfire. Misfire.
Follow the Showgram on Twitter. Search for Fishing School, or you can find previous episodes at chicagofishingschool.com.
So, the fundraiser and the world record attempt next week, that's for everybody. You can bring your kids out. There'll be a viewing area. We'll have some fun for the volunteers. We'll have snacks. We have prizes, raffles, and that. And make a donation, donate some time, or whatever. Check out the team page. I will be popping, jumping off here. I'm going to post a quick post about the event up on chicagofishingschool.com, and I'm going to get right to it. I'm going to start tying up and getting some of these rigs ready. So that will about do it for me, and I will look for you to call in and maybe volunteer some time to the event. And I thank you for listening, and I will catch you. I'll let you go right now so that I can catch you next week, and we will talk. Maybe not next week, and we might take a week off. Like I said, I have a ton to do. I have logistics, I have venue items, I've got sponsor items, I've got many grubs to prepare, hooks, I've got leaders to tie, and all sorts of stuff. So it'll be a busy, busy 8 days for me, and I'm thinking that we're going to take that fourth, the week of the fourth off. So if I don't catch you, you can have a little flavor until then, and I wish you all a very happy 4th of July. Remember your service people, service men, service women, your veterans. Check out a VFW hall. Stop in there, you know, bring some treats or something, and just hang out. Sometimes the people like just hang out and talk, like my veterans from the Paralyzed Veterans Association from the VA hospital who came out and fished our fishing derby. They just like to hang out. Some didn't even like to fish, but they like to get outside and just hang out and talk. All good guys. And fantastic spirit, really. Their bodies have been crushed, etc., but their spirit still is strong. They're pleasant. They're so, you know, pleasant and nice and polite. It was nice to serve them, even just bringing a drink over to somebody. So I'll give you a little bit of patriotic music on the way out. Again, check out the website, and I hope that I can get a couple of volunteers to do some shifts. It'll be exciting. We'll make it fun, okay? I'm Johnny. I will let you go so I can catch you later. Have a great 4th of July, everybody. Okay, if you're still hanging around, I forgot. I got to thank a couple of sponsors. VedosBait.com. VedosBait.com. You can get your grubs that I, you know, catch a lot of my fish on through there. Lee's Global Tackle.com. Lee's Global Tackle. They got some of the finest import fishing lures and tackle that they can. Inspire Marketing. If you haven't checked, InspireMarketing.com. Great group of fishing guys. And Mariuku Baits. I'll be using Mariuku Baits to break this world record. So We've lost our live feed. I had to get some sponsors in. Thank you to those people. And I got a few more sponsors that I'll lay in for next week. And we'll be talking, hopefully, a massive, massive catch of fish. Biggest ever. Biggest. I'm ready.